Welcome to the Buckeye Battle Cry postgame show, our first ever postgame show. This is your host, Eric, and I've got with me a number of excellent guests. First off, Michael from Our Honor Defend joins us for the second time. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, Eric. How's it going?
I'm doing pretty well. Joe Dexter is joining us as well.
Hey, gang. How's it going?
And last but not least, we have Mally to talk the night away.
Well, thanks a lot. I'll try to keep my verbiage down to one paragraph.
So the Buckeyes are coming off of a 42-0 victory over the Akron Zips. Probably a lot better than most of us expected. Maybe not as good as some, but certainly a fantastic victory for the Buckeyes. Michael, what are your thoughts?
I don't think that I could be any happier or any more satisfied with a win over Akron. Under any circumstance. I mean, lots of distractions, lots of question marks. The question marks were turned into exclamation points emphatically. The quarterbacks played well. The freshmen played phenomenally. All the backups did a good job. Aside from Drew Basil's field goal attempts, I think we did everything right today.
Yeah, and Drew Basil, you know, I'm a little surprised that he missed those field goals, although someone in the live blog commented that it was probably convection off the turf causing the ball to go wild. You know, it's a little disappointing that he missed those field goals, but I mean, what's 6 points when you're beating a team by 42, right, Joe?
Right, and I just want to say in Mark May fashion, I wasn't satisfied. not enough. You got to keep playing. You got to make those field goals.
But, I mean, wasn't Mark May complaining about us running up the score?
Well, Mark May complains about everything.
This is true.
I think he complained about us not running up the score, not scoring enough.
Right.
And gave Alabama a pass for the same thing against Kent State.
Because, you see, the Buckeyes have to score more because they're playing the Zips. Meanwhile, Alabama was doing their job because they're playing Golden Flashes. So, you know.
Right. Because yeah. Can't read, can't write, Kent State should do better than the Akron Zips.
Now, and just to be fair, let's remember who Kent State's coach is. All right. He just automatically on the sideline, they're going to be better than Akron.
Point. Mally with the point there. Obviously, the biggest surprise of the day was Joe Bowserman looking like an NFL-type quarterback, hitting three passing touchdowns to none other than Jake Stoneburner. Jake, in fact, has broken the record for a number of touchdown passes for an OSU tight end in a single game. And, you know, Bowserman also ran for one touchdown and made everyone forget about Terrell Pryor. I'm absolutely flabbergasted by the performance we saw from him today. What about you, Michael?
Well, I honestly didn't know what to expect from Joe. I mean, a lot of people give him crap. We've all heard it all off season and all last year. But it was based on garbage time minutes, snaps behind second and third team linemen, throwing to second and third team receivers. He had one meaningful spell against Illinois where he wasn't asked to do a whole lot. And to be fair, he didn't. But he didn't have first-team reps that week. He wasn't part of the game planning. So there was no way anybody could know really what Joe Bowserman could do when he had those kind of reps and that kind of game planning. So I can't say that I'm not surprised, but I'm not shocked. And I'm also taking into account the level of competition.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. I mean, we got to remember Akron's coming off a 1-11 season last year. And granted, they were looking better towards the end of the year, but still a lot to ask a team to come back from 1-11. What are your thoughts, Mally?
You know, I was real impressed with Joe Bowserman. I had fallen into the trap, too, of just kind of writing him off and seeing him as a placeholder for the first couple of games until Braxton came around. I think that's just because we've been really spoiled with with Terrell Pryor, with Troy Smith, and then obviously with Braxton being able to come along too. I think that this game, though, went a long way to kind of reinforce what Mark Titus wrote about on Friday, that, you know, let's not write off Joe Bowserman completely. He's essentially Chris Winkie. He's an older guy. He's been with the program for a while. He's got a cannon arm. That's why he was top, highly ranked coming out of high school. You know, let's give him a chance. And I was really pleased to see him, you know, take advantage of that chance today.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe?
Well, the big thing I took from Joe Bowserman is Mike Brewster had said it earlier in the week that people sleep on his athleticism and his ability to roll out of the pocket at points and make some pinpoint passes. Taking that from the game was a big thing for me to make adjustments in the pocket, because what you hear about Bowserman, what we've seen with third and second teams, is that he's a pocket passer, stays in there a little bit too long with some happy feet, but he was able to move around and make some big plays.
Yeah, and once again, we have to keep in mind the talent that he was up against.
Right.
Clearly, it would be nice to see him against a slightly better MAC team in Toledo next week. Toledo's expected to win the MAC this year, so they should give us a little bit more of a challenge heading into the Miami game. The other big piece of news was the performance of Braxton Miller. Clearly a little disappointing in the first half, but in the second half, started looking a lot better. Mally, do you have any thoughts?
You know, I got to see a little bit of, especially the last drives, and you know, by that time, obviously, Akron's defense is worn down, and if they're not already in with the twos. But all the stuff we've heard out of him and that Jim has shared with us out of camp and everyone else has said out of camp, you know, was really, really evident today that he's got a great arm and as good of a quarterback as Terrell Pryor was. Braxton's a better passer. You know, he was able to roll out, make some things happen with his feet, but then also keep his head downfield and really connect with some lasers. There were a couple plays. The touchdown play to Smith was a little bit behind him, and it seemed like he was locked in on his receiver a bit. But overall, I was really excited, particularly given that this kid is a true freshman.
How about you, Michael?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Mally said. I think Braxton's got – he was a lot more accurate than I expected him to be in this situation. Didn't look like he was rattled or fazed by playing in front of 105,000 people, and even that early series where he delivered a good ball to Reed Fragel, who uncharacteristically dropped it. Then he got screwed by the bad snap, so he really couldn't show what he, you know, can do in that first half. But I was very impressed. He seems like a very confident kid, and he's going to have a hell of a career at Ohio State.
Yeah, absolutely. And that bad snap, that might actually be the first bad snap I've ever seen Mike Brewster have. So that was a little bit of a surprise and sort of disappointing that it happened on a third down play where Miller could have shown something of what he does. What were your thoughts, Joe?
Might go along the same with the other guys. Mostly, though, to see his comfort level, even in that third and out, his first drive in the first half, he looked really comfortable out there. And some of the guys he threw to missed some key plays, but I thought early on he looked ready and rearing to go on the sidelines. No headset, but he was still ready to go.
No headset.
The beautiful Devin Smith 14-yard pass. I thought that it was mature play on the lead pass there to Devin Smith, and good to see two young players connecting for the 35-0 lead at that point.
Yeah, one thing that Mally didn't get a chance to really appreciate was the attempt by Urban Meyer to create some kind of a narrative about Fickell's ability to coach, or Miller's lack of enthusiasm on the sidelines, claiming that the fact he wasn't wearing a headset was some kind of apocalyptic sign from the heavens that he was going to be a terrible quarterback or whatever he was deciding to spew. Obviously, I'm overblowing it a bit, but we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on commentating, but it was pretty bad.
The one thing I would say for what I got to enjoy, I would be perfectly okay if that group did every single Ohio State game this year, especially those on ESPN. You know, there are probably some better stuff out there. I'd love to get Rob Harley on a Buckeye game. He did a great job against Rutgers the other night. But I thought that Spielman and Urban, both with Ohio State connections, were able to kind of push aside some of not only their own Ohio State biases, but also the ESPN bias, and call a pretty good game. Obviously, I didn't hear the stuff that you're referring to, but at least the part that I watched, I kind of enjoyed what they were bringing to the table.
Michael, you were spewing about the headset stuff pretty hard. What were your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I thought it was kind of silly. I mean, because you know these guys know what they're doing. If they wanted Miller on a headset, they would have put a headset on him. You know, maybe they just wanted him to sit back and watch Bowserman play. You know, you really don't know what was going on the sideline. None of us are privy to that. But I think he came in and did okay. I mean, Miller threw 4 incomplete passes. 1 was a throwaway to avoid a sack. 2 were dropped by a running back, and 1 was dropped by a tight end. All of his passes were on target, except for the throwaway.
Yeah, that's right. He was 8 for 12 for I'm gonna miss the yardage here. Like 800. Wow, 180 yards, I believe it was.
Yeah, I think he had 800 yards passing, maybe with Rod Smith's 400 yards rushing.
Yeah, that's right. If we're on Jim.
Yeah, we're real excited about that opportunity.
He was 8 for 12 passing for 130 yards and a touchdown. Which for a freshman start against any Division I team, that's very, very good. In fact, his yards per catch was better than Bowserman at 10.8 versus 10.2, as much as that means. But, you know, clearly it was a very good start for Braxton and a very good start for Joe Bowserman. It was a great way for them to get in and get their feet wet. You know, my thought about the whole headset thing was, you know, this kid has never played in a stadium with 100,000 screaming fans in it before. Why not just have him stand on the sideline and get accustomed to the sound level, get accustomed to the feel of being amidst that many people who are all watching him? You know, that's my thought on it. You know, it doesn't make any sense that, oh, he's not wearing a headset, so he's not going to know what the heck is going on. Who cares?
It would have been a little bit different, too, if it was the middle of the season and you're game planning against teams and you're set at the quarterback position. But all week long, all training camp long, spring, they all prepared for this, for Braxton Miller to be in that role. So there was no need for him to be on that headset. They had talked about it before. And so he was just taking in the scenery, per se.
Yeah, that's right. So is there anything in particular, directing this question at you, Michael, that you thought was not quite up to Ohio State standards in the play today?
The only thing I can really criticize was the pass rush. And they didn't do a lot of, while the starters were in, they didn't do a lot of blitzing. They didn't do a lot of stunts. It looked kind of basic to me. So maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe they're saving everything else for, you know, bigger and better opponents. But would have liked to have seen more pressure on the quarterback. Talked about Drew Basil missing the field goal, but other than that, I thought we did everything pretty well.
Yeah, it looked pretty good to me as well. The pass rush was a little worrisome until we started picking up some sacks later in the game with some of the younger guys. So, you know, maybe Akron was getting a little tired at that point. You know, our fresh legs were starting to be a problem. But yeah, I'm not yet ready to worry about the defensive line play. Joe, did you have any thoughts?
Well, when it came to the defensive side of the ball, I thought late in the ball game was good to see some of the youngsters get some sacks when Michael Bennett got in. That was a good point for me. But one thing that I not necessarily worried about but was kind of hesitant about was the special teams return game. Brown had a couple of returns for 28 yards. I mean, it just seemed like a couple of the guys weren't necessarily – in full season ready play to return kicks.
Yeah, Mally?
You know, actually, I was very impressed with what went on today. Obviously, I would love to have seen a larger score than 28-0 going into the fourth quarter. You know, but it was a good chance to come out and knock the dust off and you know, go helmet to helmet with somebody other than the guys you've been beating up on practice. I don't want to say too much about things that I wished because I don't want to jinx the fact that we had no false starts. And that might be the only time this whole semester.
Yeah, Umali, you've just jinxed us. We'll have a false start every game from here on out.
Actually, you didn't jinx us because we did have one. It was on a backup tight end got a false start.
Oh, okay. Well, it wasn't JB, so that's fine. Yeah, we're still doing well. We've been to a BCS game every year that I've asked for no false starts. So far we're right on schedule.
That's one way of looking at it. Let's hope that streak continues. Another great thing that we saw today was obviously in beating the heck out of Akron, we got to see a lot of the younger players get some time on the field. We saw Evan Spencer make this fantastic one-handed grab over his right shoulder, just sort of hauling in this pass that was just way out of his reach. almost a Chris Carter-esque catch. You know, truly fantastic. We saw lots of different offensive linemen, including the walk-on Eric Kramer that we've talked about on the podcast before. So many names to mention, but what youngsters really stuck out to you, Joe?
Well, the big one for me, I know he got some playing time last year, but Carlos Hyde, just to see him running up the gut and just keep moving forward, I was impressed by his ability on the field. Like I said, he did get some time last year, but just the vast improvement. I know the competition wasn't up to par, but to be able to get past some tackles, keep moving forward, and gain the 94 yards he did in that ball game, especially early. He seemed to wear down later in the ball game, but to have the opportunity to give Carlos Hyde 19 carries early was big.
Yeah, and he's a young guy, so at some point he's going to start to figure out how to turn these 94-yard games against Akron into 100-yard games, but clearly a very good effort. What about you, Michael?
Well, the obvious one would be Braxton, but I'm gonna let that stand on its own and say all the freshmen really, really did a good job today. I mean, you talked about the guys that had sacks, Shazer and Bennett and all those guys, but the ones who stood out for me, who are not necessarily freshmen but younger guys, were the DBs, Roby and Clark, because we talked about we didn't have a whole lot of pass rush, a lot of push, and they had to cover, and Dom Clark especially did a heck of a job filling in for Travis Howard. He was the, I guess he was the acting ruler of Howard Island today, and deflected the one pass that Andrew Sweat picked off, and deflected a few others that were coming in. Those guys really impressed me, and I was impressed with Nate Ebner.
Yeah, absolutely. Nate Ebner did a fantastic job today, and all of the defensive backs did extremely well. Akron was only able to complete 7 out of their 19 passes. Clayton Moore was 6 for 16, specifically for 54 yards, and one of those passes was a 33-yarder, so most of those yards came on one passing play. Clearly, the defensive backs did a very, very good job. Dominic Clark was fantastic in his coverage, as you mentioned. And Roby, heck, we almost never heard his name called. It's almost like they never threw to that side of the field, which wouldn't be that surprising. Mally, do you have any youngsters you want to give a shout-out to?
Well, other than my two daughters who loved watching the Buckeyes win today, I think that the youngster that I wanted to see – We didn't take notice of, and that's important for me. I mean, obviously I'm the lone long snapper aficionado on our team, and we didn't get to see much or hear much about Bryce Haynes, which is, I think, a good thing. So so far, so good. Real excited to see Nate Ebner, particularly given that he was just awarded a scholarship this last week. We joke that we're going to do a feature on him every week if he keeps playing like this. But just a guy that is totally Buckeye. I mean, he's invested not only in the football team but also the rugby program, and it has just an amazing job at taking leadership both places. So it's good to see him get a lot of significant playing time today and make some big plays.
Do you have any other thoughts, Michael?
I also want to point out that the next 3-4 years are going to be great watching the Evan and Devin show, because Devin Smith and Evan Spencer are going to be fantastic.
Yeah, they absolutely are. They both made spectacular catches. That one that that Braxton just slightly threw behind Devin into the end zone, Devin didn't even let the defender get a play on it, even though it was in a position where he should have been able to. The defender was right on his backside. He just put his arms back, grabbed the ball, whipped it around like it was nothing. That was a fantastic catch, and you know, Devin had a few other catches. He was 3 for 52. He's actually our number two receiver on the day for a touchdown. Evan Spencer was just 1 for 33, but obviously that one was huge. So yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Those guys are going to be fun to watch. And there's a lot of other names in the receivers. Verlon Reed was 3 receptions for 66 yards. He was a solid receiver on the day. And actually, T.Y. Williams, we said he caught one. He actually caught two for 34
wow.
yards. So, you know, the receiver position, as much as it was a weakness coming into camp, clearly they've sorted out some of their issues. At least, you know, I don't want to jinx us or anything, but things are looking solid for the receiving core moving forward from here.
I thought Verlon Reed played extremely well at the receiver position, too. Like you mentioned, that 28-yard catch that set up the Bowserman scramble into the end zone to start the ball game, that was key. And I think he did a great job early in the ball game of separating himself and getting that big play receiver we need to averaging 22 yards per catch.
Yeah, Mally?
Yeah, like I said, I'm happy with the effort. And I'm also happy with the effort. I know we haven't talked about it much, but, you know, A, it's Akron, and I got that. But Ohio State's offense has historically, you know, moved relatively slow in terms of warming up as the season goes on. I hope that continues, because if this is our slow point and we're going to get, knock on wood, you know, Hall back next week, and in a couple weeks we add back, you know, Mike Adams and Boom Heron and the guys that, and Devere Posey. And if we're just going to build from here, all bets are off in terms of where this will take the Buckeyes in the long run. It was a great start, and granted it was against an opponent that was valiant, and I'm sure Coach Tressel would have talked them up. You know, it was a great start and a great first game for the Luke Fickell era.
Yeah, one of the things I found most interesting about the way the offense was set today was the way the offensive play calling was structured around each player, specifically what kind of formation sets they were in. Joe Bowserman saw an awful lot of I-form sets that he seemed to work very naturally in, whereas Braxton Miller first comes out and we're seeing him in shotgun sets. Lots of spread out wide receivers, you know, very, very different styles of offense for the two quarterbacks. And it seemed like in the first quarter, the offense had a little bit of trouble, you know, switching gears. But, you know, maybe that was a little bit of Braxton's youth coming forward, not quite knowing how to get the offense to follow his lead. But, you know, as the game wore on, it almost seemed like the offense was perfectly happy switching back and forth between the two. That's clearly going to give us some very interesting dynamics going on later into the season. It's going to make it a lot harder for teams to defend against us. Your thoughts, Michael?
Well, I think you're right. I think it's important to be to give teams different looks, especially in this day and age. There's so many different complicated defenses, and you want to, you know, if you can't just man up and beat a good team, sometimes it's good to trick them into going the wrong way and you know, reading it incorrectly. And it's just nice to have that versatility. And I think both quarterbacks got a chance to work out of both, you know, multiple formations, different number of receiver sets and that kind of thing. And that can only help Braxton's development, which is a good thing. And, you know, gained some comfort level there. I'm really very happy that both quarterbacks looked as comfortable as they did. That was the main thing that I wanted to see today.
Yeah, absolutely. Mally, what about you?
Yeah, again, like I said, I think that it's a great start, and the offense is only going to go up from this point. I forgot to mention earlier, you know, Jamal Berry, who's been nursing that hamstring. I really think that we're going to cause some significant problems for people down the road. And one of the things that was always talked about, you know, back in the day about Ohio State is that they were pretty one-dimensional on offense, and that made it, you know, really easy to figure out what the game plan was. I would even say that was true during the Tressel administration, that folks knew, you know, okay, it's third and short, here comes Dave. I've got the feeling that we're opening the playbook a little bit, and if that's a two-quarterback system, then that's fine, but we certainly have the weapons, if only, you know, we can make sure that everybody stays healthy.
Yeah, one other thing I wanted to point out, you know, you talked about Jamal Berry. Keep in mind that the two running backs we saw today, Carlos Hyde and Rod Smith, are actually our fourth and fifth string options at running back. Obviously, Jordan Hall was suspended. He was going to be our starter coming in, with Boom Heron being suspended to start the first five games, and Jamal Berry nursing the hamstring. So our fourth and fifth string running backs managed to net us a grand total of 224 yards on the ground. Those two specifically just shy of 180 yards on the majority of the carries. Carlos Hyde got 19 and Rod Smith got 18. So that's a great sign for what our offensive line is going to be able to do and what our running backs are going to be able to do. Joe, your thoughts about the offense as a whole?
Well, I think it gives you a lot of options, and when Boom comes back, it definitely opens up the field. But one thing to think about next week or whenever Jordan Hall returns, now that you got two guys like Carlos Hyde and Rod Smith back there that you know can run up the gut and open up the field, you got a guy like Hall that you can play in the slot, and you've got some all kinds of talent around you and with different sets, like we heard about 50,000 times during the broadcast It's going to be hard to game plan against the Ohio State Buckeyes early in the year. And then you add Boom Heron into the mix coming back against Nebraska, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Any last thoughts from any of you?
Well, it was really fun to watch the Baylor game last night, setting the tone early and upsetting TCU. Today we almost got to see Utah State knock off Auburn until the SEC refs did what FCC refs did. At this juncture, Buckeye fans will be happy to know that Michigan's defense is still pathetic. What I can see now is that Western Michigan just drove down the field and scored on them. I know it's early in the year and early in the game, but it's always nice to see that there's some tradition that just continues in Ann Arbor.
Oh, it's nice to know that Michigan continues to suck. Great. Joe, any last thoughts from you?
I just got to say that Luke Fickell's wife ain't bad for a wrestler's wife.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Great. That's how this podcast is going to be. Awesome. Love it. Michael, how about you?
Well, one thing I wanted to say was I thought the best line in the live blog today was that if he could, Luke Fickell would blitz on offense.
Exactly.
That was a good line. It was the main thing about today is it's so damn nice to have the off season behind us, this crappy, horrible off season from hell. And we're talking about football again. And it's nice to see Luke Fickell go out and for a guy that, you know, he's the guy we all know. You know, we know he's a good guy, and he went out and he did a great job today.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on all points. It's just finally nice to be talking about football for once. All this crap, put it behind us, and let's just play some football.
So does that mean that you think Luke Fickell's wife is hot then?
He did agree.
Is this going to get me killed by Luke Fickell if I agree officially?
No, not really. He'll send Vrabel to kill you.
I can live with that. I can live with that. So, yeah, I'll agree. Sure. Just hope my girlfriend doesn't listen to this.
I do have a question, though, before we get out of here.
Yeah, sure.
Did we ever get a ruling on what Brady Hoke calls Michigan State?
Ooh. No, we didn't. Any thoughts? Any guesses?
Little brother.
If he calls us Ohio, what does he call Michigan State? And does that confuse his already confused defense?
I think he'll just call him Green.
Yeah, it could be. I think little brother might work, except that the internet sign of, you know, little brother kicked your butt again that was hanging off that big house last year was great. I personally, and this may just be because I don't care about Michigan much at all, I don't think that it matters what Brady Hoke calls Michigan State. We won't be able to hear it anyway for the donut in his mouth.
That's true. And as always, not one damn was given on this podcast for the whole state of Michigan.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And not one damn will ever be given for the whole state of Michigan on this podcast, as far as I'm concerned.
At this juncture, just a real quick update for those people who don't care. Notre Dame is losing to South Florida 10-0 with 4 minutes to go in the first quarter.
And the Golden Domers continue to suck. Great. The world is right again.
Wake up the echoes.
Oh, Chip Kelly. So that's all the time we're going to have for this one. I want to thank Michael for joining us, Michael at RR No Defend. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Joseph and Mally, thank you very much for joining us as well.
Good times.
Great oldies, or great football, I mean.
Absolutely great football. So for more from us, please visit thebuckeyebattlecry.com. For more from Michael, you can visit ourhonordefend.com.